Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Thanks, Bob, and please keep your Bibles open there at Acts 4. In fact, I'd like you just to flick back one chapter to Acts chapter 3, because that will give you the context for that reading from Acts chapter 4. Acts 3, one day Peter and John were going up to the mountain at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I don't have. What I do I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Friends, the world is waiting for an encounter with God. You believe that? The world is waiting for an encounter with God. And we are called to represent the culture of heaven here on earth. Honor, love, kindness. But there's something else which is critically important and required, and it is the power of God. It is the power of God coming, being brought to bear on the brokenness of the world. We owe the world an encounter with the love of God, an encounter with the power of God. Everywhere that Jesus went, that's what he did. Do you agree? He brought the love of God and the power of God. And through many commissions of the disciples through his ministry, and then wrapped up in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, that's what he actually commissions every disciple without exception to do. And that's exactly what Peter and John did at the temple gate. Isn't it the most beautiful story, one in Acts 3? Peter and John are simply being obedient to Jesus. They are simply living out the commission that he had given them. It's the same commission that we're given. And I want you quickly, with your Bibles open there, look again at verse 4, Acts 3. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Now, this is my interpretation of this. It's not in the text. I think what was happening there, as they're looking at this man, they're listening to the Father. John 5, John 8, Jesus says, "I only do what the Father shows me to do. I only do what the Father says. I only speak what the Father tells me to say." And that's what I think is happening when it says Peter and John looked straight at him. But then they actually have to step out. It is a courageous stepping out, and it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens? This is probably 30 AD, maybe 31 AD. What happens then has continued to happen all the way down through the centuries. It happened in 2018. It'll happen in 2019. The religious legalists will always rise up against the work of the Spirit. So Peter and John, they're arrested. Does that silence them? No way. They just continue to speak out with boldness. So with your Bibles open, we're not going to go through it, but look at just this most magnificent statement in verse 12, chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else. Right? So he's addressing the Sanhedrin, the religious authorities which are coming against them. Salvation is found in no one else than Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I wonder if you noticed, whether you were listening to the Spirit as we sang this morning, that in each of our songs this morning, it speaks about the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Well, Peter and John are actually released. Why are they released? Because the people were praising God for what had happened. So they're released. What do? They go back and they rejoin their brothers and sisters, the company of believers. Okay, so they're back with them. Then what do? They start interacting with their Heavenly Father. They start having a heavenly convo, because that's what prayer is. And brothers and sisters, your Heavenly Father, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, his great desire is that each one of you would bring heaven into the area of influence in your life, and it's usually many areas. And the Greek word behind that is simply the word metron. That's what the Lord desires, and the beginning strategy to realise that is always the same. The beginning strategy is always prayer. And Acts chapter 4, I think, is one of the most powerful examples of what I call breakthrough prayer. It's one of my favourite passages in all of Scripture, and I don't want you to miss how it starts. The believers have come together, they begin to pray, and they go, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. They are praying to the one who rules. They are praying to the one who is the King, who is the Almighty One. And when you think about the Lord being sovereign, when he makes a decree, it will happen. Do you agree? Nothing will stop it. The second coming of the Lord Jesus is such a decree. Nothing will stop it. The resurrection of the dead to life or condemnation is a decree. The standing of everyone before the Lord on the last day is such a decree. But as you see from this prayer, and then what flows out of the prayer, most of the time, the Lord brings his desires and his plans to fruition by partnering. Most of the time, he brings them to fruition by partnering with his obedient children who are surrendered to his will. This is so critical for us to grasp. You trust in the Lord Jesus, you are a co-laborer with the sovereign Lord. And God has chosen in his freedom to exercise his sovereignty in such a way that it requires the active participation, the active cooperation of his sons and daughters. There are decrees. He is sovereign. But tragically, down through church history, the aspect of sovereignty has been defined in a way which does not actually stack up with the biblical record. Of course, there are these situations where God decrees and that's it. But the way he has structured his ruling of the universe is in this co-laboring, a freedom which he has given mankind, and then a responsibility that's placed on people to actually respond. I think the classic example of this is 2 Peter 3:9. It is God's desire for how many people to come to faith? All. Do all come to faith? No, it's not because the Lord is impotent and weak. It's not because he's not sovereign. It's because he doesn't rule by us being robots. He is looking for that active response. And for us, brothers and sisters, in bringing heaven into your area of influence, we're co-laborers. It's not just, well, he's sovereign, he'll do it. the working out of his plan so much of the time require our active participation. So I want you to see this partnership between the Lord and his people as seen in the early church. These people are under the pump. There may be some people here this morning that have experienced in-your-face persecution. I haven't. Most of our brothers and sisters, statistically around the world, do. And the authorities, the religious authorities, are gunning for these followers of the Lord Jesus. And these followers are under the pump. But they are compelled by the love of God. They're compelled by the reality of the resurrection. Look at verse 28 in their prayer. So, Sovereign Lord, verse 29, now consider their threats and enable your servants to do what? To speak your word with great boldness. Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I really want us to focus on what is happening here in the believer's prayer. Focus, get your mind around it, and then commit before the Lord to make it your lifestyle. Jesus had declared just before his ascension, Acts 1, let's read it together, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God has spoken. Now I want you to compare what God has spoken with the way the believers prayed. This is really critical to get and then apply it into your own commitment to co-labor with the Lord and bring heaven into your area of influence. Here's what was happening. Let's say it together. The early believers aligned themselves with what God had said, and then they spoke out. They decreed in perfect alignment with what God had decreed. Jesus says, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. They're under the pump. These two heroes of the faith, Peter and John, have been arrested. And they go, Sovereign Lord, enable us to speak with boldness and stretch out your hand and heal and bring signs and wonders. That is, they have completely aligned themselves with what God had said. And a Brisbane mum by the name of Lana Vasser, for those who are connected on my Facebook page, you're missing out if you're not, it's a moniker, just recently released a book. It's a really beautiful book called The Prophetic Voice of God. Highly recommend it. And here's what Lana says. When God speaks, he is looking for the activation of our faith and our alignment with his voice. When God speaks, he's looking for the activation of our faith and lining up with his voice. So, for these believers who were gathered in Jerusalem, God had spoken. Is that true? Jesus said, remain here, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses. Did it happen? Yes, that power came in the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But then they have responsibility. They line themselves up with what God has said. It's a breakthrough prayer. Lord, let us speak with boldness in gospel proclamation and for healings and signs and wonders. Word, Spirit. Proclamation, dunamis, mighty deeds. It is exactly the pattern of Jesus' ministry. It is exactly the ministry of Paul that he summarizes in Romans 15. And I know I was seduced by this for many years. I look back and go, it was a seduction, it was a deception to proclaim and leave healings and signs and wonders off here. It's a nonsense and it's not biblical. Look at the Word of God. Help us to speak powerfully. We're lining with what you've said to us. And it all comes from you, Lord. Stretch out your hand with healings and signs and wonders. And that just simply must be the modus operandi for each one of us. Yes, our gifts will vary. This person will be blessed by the Lord in this particular way and this one more so. But this is the normal Christian life. This is not abnormal. This is the normal Christian life, to speak it out and for the power of God to come in love and bring redemption into areas of brokenness. So what's the picture? Jesus has commanded and then he's invited every one of his disciples to be part of the main game last week. This is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's intention to reveal heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Think of that expression, is actually the heartbeat of God. But don't miss it. Jesus says, when you pray. Here's how the reality of heaven comes to earth into our world. It starts and always starts with prayer. And this is exactly what those early believers are doing. They come to prayer and they align themselves up with God's voice. It should not surprise us then that we read in verse 31, when they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. That shouldn't surprise us, should they? They lined themselves up. Help us to speak with boldness, and that's exactly what happened. Verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Let your eyes run across to chapter 5 and go to verse 12, just a few verses there. I want you to see this. This is the working out of this answer to prayer and the co-laboring of the sovereign Lord with his sons and daughters. Verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Verse 15. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and one or two of them were healed. Anyone got their Bibles there? And all of them were healed. And our great temptation is to go either dismiss it, well, this was a nice little write-up by the writers of the New Testament, or perhaps to affirm it and affirm it as history only. It is history. It's actually happened. But the Father, our Father, wants this to be a living reality in each of our lives. It might practically look a little bit different, but for every one of us without exception, he wants this to be a living reality, bringing heaven into your area of influence. So think about it. The God who has come, taken on human flesh, died in our place, bore our sins in his body on the tree, risen again, ascended on high, the God who we are joined to and worship and adore is supernatural. So when you live in relationship with him, when you allow him to work through you, supernatural experiences should always go, wow, that's lovely. But it ought to just be normal, shouldn't it? Isn't just the normal Christian life one of supernatural living out, the union with Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? But you will need to align yourself with what the Father's saying and then speak it out and step out in courageous faith. It might be a word that's been spoken to you in a corporate gathering. I think statistically, it's going to be most often you're reading scripture and it's like, wow, like I've never, wow. It's like that's just, I mean, I've read it so many times, but wow, that verse, it's like it's illuminated. It's just speaking, it's like God's just written this for me. Journal it. Write it down. Hold on to it. This is so important for each of us to take on board. Jesus says, John 10, my sheep hear my voice. It's why just recently in that time that I was away on that very short break, that Randall ran that series. It's a joke. Seems short. Ran that series, Four Keys to Hearing the Voice of God. Recommend you, if you weren't here, to go back through that. The book that was referenced in that by Mark and Patty Merkler is really a great read. God speaking into our hearts is just integral with being a new covenant believer. It was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, that God would come and write his word into our hearts. But to hear him properly, to discern what he's saying, to differentiate that from your own thoughts and also thoughts planted by the enemy, you will need to be steeped in the word, steeped in it, reading it, feeding on it, meditating on it, chewing it on it, asking the Lord for understanding. Every disciple needs to embrace this reality of the Lord speaking to us and then consciously spend time. However that works for you. For me, it's leave the phone further away than here, put it on silent, get a cup of tea, open the blinds, look out at the wonder of God's creation, maybe listen to some worship music, read some scripture, and wait on the Lord. And literally the word wait, as it's used in the Psalms, is this idea of intense focus. Listen to the Lord. Journal. It's good later on to go back and get others to check, am I discerning this right? Talk to him. It's a conversation. It's a relationship. This is your heavenly Father. We come into his presence because of the blood of the Lord Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Talk to him. Ask him questions. Dialogue with him. Because his plan, his desire is that every one of you will partner with him in bringing in the kingdom of God. This so significant aspect of him ministering with us, this co-laboring. You see it all the way back at the beginning of time with creation. It's in the original commission statement in Genesis 1:28 in a book recently published, The Way of Life, which is a really excellent read. I just found this summary super helpful. So I want you to think of the original commission in physical terms, but then see how it just immediately applies to us spiritually as members of the new covenant. Lord says, be fruitful. That is, go and lead a productive life. Multiply. Generations on generations living under the beauty of God's rule. In illustrating the wonder of having a perfect Father. Go and fill the earth. That is, bring the influence of God's lordship across the world, across all aspects of your life, across and into every area of influence. Subdue it. You know, when that instruction was given to our first parents, it implies that there was already darkness and chaos outside of the Garden of Eden. And subdue is a military term. It means to conquer. And this was to be done by Adam and Eve and their descendants until the boundaries of the Garden of Eden filled the whole planet, placing it under the influence of God's perfect rule. We know that didn't happen. But we are called Christ, the second Adam, us, the true sons of Abraham by faith in the Lord Jesus, members of the new covenant community, to do what? To extend Eden. To extend the kingdom of God, pushing back brokenness, death, loss, destruction of the kingdom of darkness. Do you see how so often those physical happenings and images in the Old Testament get picked up into a spiritual application, but also has a physical aspect to it? This person is physically healed. This person is pulled out of poverty. This person is freed and healed from anxiety. And then, of course, ultimately in the new heaven, new earth, just this perfect unity together of spiritual and physical. So my prayer is that every one of us will be a person of breakthrough. Every one of us without exception, if you name the name of Jesus. My prayer is that Deep Creek will increasingly be a church of breakthrough. And whether it's Deep Creek, son of Deep Creek, daughter of Deep Creek squared, it's always the same. It always starts with, can anyone guess it? Prayer. And when I think of prayer, I tend to just sort of put things in baskets. There's personal prayer and there's corporate prayer. A couple of quick comments. Think about personal prayer. In personal prayer, I then kind of put them into two buckets. So we had two big buckets, personal, corporate. Corporate might be two or three, a growth group, setting like this, Monday night, monthly. But on personal, my first personal bucket is just the moment-by-moment stuff. And I'm not saying I consistently do it, but I aim to do this. Whatever I'm doing through the day, to have my spiritual ear inclined to my Father. What is he saying to me? When things come up, talk to him. You might be mowing the lawn, sorting out a ledger, changing nappies, whatever it is. Be in that state of just convo, just talking to the Lord, listening to him. If you're thinking in the way my mind works, that's 1A. It's like personal moment by moment. What's 1B? Roddy, it's good the way you just chat to me when you do the garden edges. Praise God for my gardener. It saves my back. If you want a good gardener, let me know. But Roddy, come and spend some quality time with me. Just for the moment, forget about the garden edges. Turn the computer off, especially leave the phone over there. Unless you're using it to play worship music and read the Bible. And just sit with me. Listen to me. Talk to me. Roddy, just interact. I love you, and it's a relationship. Do you get it? Moment by moment, whatever we're doing, we're inclined to the Lord in his presence, just chatting to him. And then those focus times. Because the Lord knows where he wants to take me, and the Lord knows where he wants to take each one of you. He knows the destiny that he has planned for me, the destiny he has planned for you. And he knows how he wants to use me and you to bring heaven into your metron, into your area of influence. He knows that. Of course he knows that. But it actually needs to be activated. How does it get activated? He comes to us with a word. And it will be a word that enables us to get from here to where he wants us to be. And he will provide all of the resources to make sure that we reach our destiny and our purpose. So for me, the way that I've kind of learnt this over the years that I've been here with you, with the great privilege of being your leader, is listening to the Father, digesting it, journal it, talk to the Lord about what I believe he's saying, test it with others, and then activate my faith by aligning myself with his voice. And a more recent development in my relationship with the Lord is then to speak that out, to decree it. So I've been in that process for some time as far as what the Lord's plans are for me post-February 3. I think I have a very good general idea, and I'm waiting for those specifics to unfold in the Lord's good time. You can pray that I'll be patient, because that's my number one virtue. But as the Lord has increasingly, if you like, stepped up the amount of those words, I'm trying to get into the lifestyle of speaking them out. Lord, I'm trusting you. You have said X. I always get the time wrong, but you have said next week or whenever it is that this is what will happen. That is, I'm speaking it out. I'm seeking to align myself with what the Lord has said. And then we have a responsibility to steward what the very thing that our Father has spoken to us and step out. Is that what happened in the early church? Is that what we see in Scripture? Is this different? In our brokenness, plus the enemy, a voice will come in and go, yeah, okay, step out, but what are you going to do if you get stranded? What are you going to do if the Lord doesn't show up? He will always show up. He will always be there for his children as we seek to honour him. And the cross of Jesus guarantees it. Because on the cross, the most compelling words in Scripture, John 19, I think it's verse 30. It is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. And in saying those words, it signifies that everything that needs to be done for my eternal destiny, for your eternal destiny, was accomplished in that moment. There is nothing that I will ever need or you will ever need that has not been provided for at the cross. The most beautiful, beautiful truth. So just a couple of comments on prayer, the moment by moment, the personal prayer, and then that time of really intense focus. And then, of course, there's corporate prayer. So try and live a lifestyle of breakthrough prayer in your personal life, just living that supernatural life in conversation with your Father. And then there's something that's clearly special about God's people coming together. You know, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst. The Lord's always with the believer, isn't he? The very definition of a Christian, Romans 8, is that you have the Spirit of God. But there's something particular about two or three coming together. So let's just think about that basket as corporate prayer. And I trust, as I'm sort of getting into a reflective mode as I head towards the end of my journey here, I trust that all of you are thankful for the staff team that the church has been blessed with and are thankful for the senior lay leaders of this church. Because I can say without any shadow of uncertainty and contradiction that we have developed a lifestyle of doing exactly what I'm speaking about this morning. I'm not saying it boastfully, wealth mindset. I'm just speaking out the truth in this. No person, like in my role, can properly assess their ministry. But if I tried to, I actually think this is my greatest legacy. I think this is the foundation on what the seasons of suddenlies will come and build on. Because at the time of greatest crisis, both at a personal level and at a church level, I learnt these steps in the cauldron of suffering. I learnt this by appealing to the Lord for understanding. And it was out of that intense period that I moved from the traditional in the way I grew up, way of prayer, which was, these are all the things that I need sorted out, Lord, thank you, and I'm moving on. We wouldn't want our kids to act like that. sitting with the Lord, talking to him, asking for understanding, asking for revelation. And so we as a staff team and as an executive committee and as a parish council do the following, maybe in slightly different order. I think it'd be fair to say without exception. We come together and we spend time in the Word. It is authoritative. Doesn't matter what mood you're in, whether you're depressed, on a high, whatever, it's authoritative. You mightn't feel like the Lord loves you, but he tells you authoritative that he loves you. We spend time in the Word. We spend time in worship, in song before the Lord, and then we go. Whether it's executive committee, parish council, staff meeting, Lord, thank you that you're here. Come and speak to us. We listen to him. We share that with one another. If something seems a little out of whack, we go back. We're trying to sort it out. There'll be a unity in the Spirit. We write it down. We pray it through. We seek explanation. I have served in church leadership in different denominations. I've been in different churches in this denomination, and I have never experienced this. The typical thing is what I would call a Christianized Santos. It's like, okay, we've got a parish council vestry, I don't care what you call it, meeting of elders. We will start with an opening prayer, then let's go and do all of this business. We won't really talk to the Lord as we go through the business. Oh, yeah, that's right, we're Christians, and at the end of it, let's close in prayer and have some supper. We have not operated like that. And I trust that you appreciate it. I trust that you thank the Lord for this, and I'm asking you to steward it because the responsibility will fall on you. It falls on you each time we come to the election of people, doesn't it? In the system, providing someone's rocked up and been here semi-regularly, whether they love the Lord Jesus or not, they can fill in a form and you can vote them in. Is this true? And in God's grace, but I think in us seeking to honour him, we have had great leaders. But you can't assume that will always continue, because the Lord will expect you to do what? To co-labour. So I want you to appreciate where we've come to. I want you to thank the Lord for it, and then go, we have a responsibility. Not just whoever my successor is going to be, we have a responsibility to make sure that the leaders that we have in our church are devoted to the Lord. In their own frailty, that they are seeking him, that they're listening, and that's what we ourselves are going to do. We want to sit in his presence. And we want to do all of that because we are committed to co-labouring with the Lord who wants to bring heaven into your area of influence, your metron. What could it be? Well, immediate family, extended family, your work situation, the next door neighbour. I've had some very particular metrons that the Lord has assigned me. One of those is my local shopping strip where I've developed, and I'm not being boastful, I'm just stating a fact, some really excellent relationships over many years, not seeing people as projects, but knowing them, then being invited into their homes, praying for them when they get a back spasm in their shop or whatever. It's a journey. Numerous of those people came to Brendan's Thanksgiving service and were deeply touched by the Spirit of God. It's like, wow, we haven't been to church like this. Wow, they're trying to find the words. There's something different. Well, that was just one of my metrons. But each of you will have them. And the Lord, in the way he's gifted you, just wants you to have, if you like, an obsession. Lord, I want these people to see how great you are. I want the name of the Lord Jesus to be made famous throughout the world, but if you like, especially, particularly in my area of influence. Next door neighbours, shops you frequent, your favourite coffee shop, for a church, our outreach ministries. These metrons, these areas of influence, they're absolutely everywhere. And they're places of influence that the Lord has actually given us personally and given us as a church. So what do we need to do? You have to wait on the Lord. It's this intense focus. Lord, will you speak to me about this area? How do you want me to minister into it? I doubt that he'll be saying to you, Rod, grab the biggest Bible you can find, and would you run down that shopping strip and very quickly just knock them all on the head and say, thus says the Lord. He loves each of those people in those areas of influence. He has great plans for them. And your giftedness will be different to mine, but he will use your giftedness, if you're open, to actually bring his love and power into it. Friends, my appeal is, please don't be spectators. Join in with the Lord. There could be nothing that could be more fulfilling than co-labouring. Can I invite you to stand with me? I've adapted a prayer, if you like, an activation prayer from that great book I mentioned, that book by Lana Busser. So I'm going to read it, and Jack, I think it's three slides, so I'll flick through from here, and then if you wouldn't mind, just take me back to the first one. So as I read this, just in your heart, check whether is this what the Spirit is saying to you? Is your mind and will aligned with this? Don't just be polite. If it's not sitting with you, don't speak it out. But if it is, speak it out from your heart. So here's the prayer, and I'll just read it through first up. I'm powerful everywhere I go because of whose I am. I am his. I decree that I have a voice and I have influence in every area in which the Lord has given me jurisdiction. I decree in the name of Jesus that I have the power to release life, hope, and encouragement everywhere I go. I decree that fear will not hold me back, but I will move as the Spirit prompts me. I'll look for opportunities to call out the destiny and gold in others, to share the love of Jesus, even through simple encouragement. I decree that I will not be silenced, but I can partner with him in hearing his voice, to speak his words and see his goodness and love extended everywhere I go. I commit to partnering with the Lord in bringing heaven into my areas of influence. With my brothers and sisters in Acts 4, I pray, Father, that you would enable me and our community here at Deep Creek to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand, Lord, to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. So if you're with me on this, let's pray together. I am powerful everywhere I go because of whose I am. I am his. I decree that I have a voice, influence in every area in which the Lord has given me jurisdiction. I decree in the name of Jesus that I have the power to release life, hope, and encouragement everywhere I go. I decree that fear will not hold me back, but I will move as the Spirit prompts me. I will look for opportunities to call out the destiny and gold in others, to share the love of Jesus, even through simple encouragement. I decree that I will not be silenced, but I can partner with him in hearing his voice, to speak his words and see his goodness and love extended everywhere I go. I commit to partnering with the Lord in bringing heaven into my areas of influence. With my brothers and sisters in Acts 4, I pray, Father, that you would enable me and our community here at Deep Creek to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand, Lord, to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. And Shannon's going to come up and lead us in our final song.
But make this song a prayer. Make this song, if you prayed that prayer with that Rod led us in, just to, that this is a continuation of that, where we are saying yes to Jesus. We're saying we want to partner with you. We want to partner with you, that we want our whole lives to be centred on you. That in each and every area of our lives are those spheres of influence that we have. That actually that we do those roles and we do those things, but the whole time we're thinking, Jesus, what is it that you want us doing in these moments? That we're partnering with him. Let's sing this out.